welcome back to another long-awaited episode of the International Football Podcast. My name is Eamon, and I'm here with Tel. Hello, Tel.
Hey, Eamon. How are you going?
Great. We have coming up, starting this weekend, Tel, the 2019 Asian Cup.
Correct. It's been 4 years since the last one, obviously, 2015, which was held here in Australia, and which was won by...
Australia.
James Trevisi.
Yes, 2-1 victory over South Korea that day.
This edition... This is being held in the UAE?
Yep, Dubai and Abu Dhabi. What we're going to do today is just go through each of the groups. There's actually, the competition has been expanded to six groups for this edition. I love this style where it's six groups of four teams. I love the style of the old style of the 1986 World Cup.
Yeah.
When you could have the top, not only the top two teams advance, but the third place team, four of the third place teams advance as well.
It's almost like almost everybody gets through. So you start out with 24. In the next round, you're down. You lose eight.
Right? Yeah.
You're hardly losing anyone, to be honest with you. There's a lot of teams to lose in this.
A lot of people criticize it, but I actually haven't enjoyed a World Cup as much since it's expanded to 32 teams because back in those days, you had the likes of Belgium getting through in 86 and then going on to get to the semifinals. I just think it offers a little bit of randomness that isn't normally there. Yeah. Let's just go through the groups. So first we have Group A. In this group, Tel, we've got UAE, Thailand, India, and Bahrain. So you've got UAE. They're the hosts.
Hmm.
And they'll be hoping to win this group and have a good tournament, perhaps get to the semifinals like they did last time. Although they're actually, unfortunately, missing their star man, Omar Abdulrahman, the guy with the big afro.
Yeah, yeah. Where did he end up? Where's he been playing recently?
He went on loan to Al-Hilal in Saudi Arabia most recently. It's very rare for Arab players to go to Europe. And perhaps that's one thing that's held back their development, a lot of these teams. Just getting back to UAE, ELO ranking is 85 in the world, but they'll be relying on the likes of Ali Mahmoud and Ahmed Khalil to get their goals this time around.
Mm.
Thailand, the next team. Now, Thailand actually did quite well in World Cup qualifying. If you remember, they were in Australia's group.
Yes.
They qualify for this tournament from having won their group in the second round of World Cup qualifying that time.
Yeah, they've been banging on the door there. Thailand are one of those emerging footballing nations, I think.
They
keep on coming quite close, and they could be one to maybe spring a shock in this.
Yeah, I'd be expecting them to get through this group. I actually think they'll finish second. They rely mainly on the goals of Thirasil Dangda, who's their all-time top scorer of 42. But they also have a good young player, Chanathip Songkrasin, who actually is the only player who plays outside of Thailand. And he's playing currently for Consadole Sapporo in the J-League. So he's one to watch out for. Now, India. Of course, they'll be relying on their old faithful Sunil Chhetri, who's well into his 30s now, and their all-time top scorer with 65 goals. But
I actually saw him playing recently because he's now playing for Bengaluru, formerly known as Bangalore.
Really?
Yeah. So I was in Bangalore recently. So they were playing an away game. Yeah, they're top of the league at the moment, doing really well.
Mm.
In fact, they've been pretty much the most successful team since the new Indian Super League kicked off most recently. So India, of course, obviously habitually underperformed in football for decades and decades. There's that famous, possibly apocryphal story about them at the 1950 World Cup forgetting their football boots or not turning up with football boots and not being allowed to play or something.
Yeah, they apparently lined out on the pitch in bare feet, although this story has been questioned recently, hasn't it?
Yeah. With the emergence of the Super League in India, it's following the format of the cricket, right? Football is now getting a bit of airtime in India, and I wouldn't be surprised to see over the years, it's going to take a long time for that country to develop.
Yeah, but, in my other life, I'm an English teacher, and quite a few of the young men are very interested in football. It wouldn't surprise me if India become a much stronger nation than they've been. I mean, they've got a massive young pool of players to draw on. It obviously doesn't have the development of, say, other Asian nations, but...
No. Yeah, and I wonder whether they would be able to pull on their diaspora as well. I think this will be a little bit of a common theme throughout the different countries, but
yeah.
India obviously has a big diaspora. Yeah, whether they're people who have moved internationally will start playing more football, and then that will, you know, help the national team ultimately.
I think it probably will. We've seen that happen with the Philippines.
Yeah.
Michael Chopra was almost going to represent India a few years back here, and he would have been great for them.
Yeah.
That didn't eventuate. India have had a couple of good results recently, drawing with both China and Oman in warm-up games, so perhaps could spring a surprise there. The last team in Group A is Bahrain. Now, Bahrain have really fallen off a cliff a little bit in the last 10 years. They used to be, remember, they got to the playoffs of the World Cup against New Zealand a few years back. But their recent results haven't been as good. They struggled in qualifying. They finished fourth in their second round qualifying group for the World Cup in 2015. Now, one thing I want to talk about with Bahrain, though, is the recent story of the player who currently lives in Melbourne, in Australia, plays for Pasco Vale. He's a former Bahraini international, but he was a refugee in Australia.
Yeah, he represented Bahrain internationally.
He was apparently involved in the democracy protests back during the Arab Spring, as many of the Shia community Bahrain were. Bahrain, the situation is there's a monarchy, which is a Sunni monarchy, majority of the population are Shia, and they rule with an iron fist.
Yeah.
He was wanted in connection to so-called vandalism. They put out a red alert on Interpol for him recently because they were alerted to the fact that he was abroad. He was on a holiday with his wife in Bangkok, and he was arrested by Thai authorities with a view to being extradited to Bahrain. That case is currently in limbo, and the Australian government is trying to put pressure on Thailand to send him back to Australia, as he's not an Australian citizen, but he's a permanent resident here, having been recognised as a refugee. And Craig Foster was talking recently that it's an absolute travesty that the Asian Confederation isn't doing more to help his situation. The current president of the ASC is in fact the leader of Bahrain.
I was going to say there's a certain amount of overlap, though. The ruling class within Asian football and the ruling class within
some of these monarchies.
So, you know,
I really feel for this guy languishing in a prison in fear of being extradited to a country where the prison system is supposed to be horrific, where he could be subjected to torture and all sorts of things. I really hope that something is done about this and enough pressure is put on the AFC to get involved.
Yeah, absolutely.
As regards their current national team, Bahrain, as I said, not as good as they once were. They are currently ranked 102 in the ELO rankings. I'm not expecting too much. I think Thailand will get above them in this group.
Yeah, I would say so. Bahrain, the only thing that I can remember about Bahrain is the fact that we stopped there on the way to Australia 30 years ago and bought a ghetto blaster. But apart from that, I'm not holding out much hope for Bahrain in this group.
That ghetto blaster lasted a long time.
it did.
It was at least 10 years, maybe 20.
Thank you, Bahrain, for that, but not for much else, it sounds like.
Okay, let's move on to Group B.
And this, of course, is the Australian group. So Australia heads into this, obviously, as the title holders.
Who are the four teams?
So in this group, we have Australia, Syria, Palestine and Jordan. Australia, title holders. But we've undergone quite a significant amount of change in the last couple of years, and especially in the last year, like since the World Cup as well. So famously, you know, infamously, Ange pulled out of coaching before the last World Cup, and we ended up, you know, we did predictably, I think, at the World Cup. Since then, Graham Arnold has taken over. I don't know, I find this Australia is probably a little bit more Graham Arnold-like, you know.
Which means less about...
Solid. He doesn't play in the same sort of... He doesn't have the same expansive style that Ange has. But, you know, look, at the international level, you've got to play with what you have. And I think Australian squad is not at its strongest. And coming into this now, we have injuries to possibly the three top players. We have, you know, we've got Moyes out, Arzani was out, he's been out for a while, and now our most recent recruit, Boyle, Scottish come Australian, has pulled out right at the last minute as well from the squad. So
is Rogic injured as well?
I don't think he is. I think he might have been carrying an injury, but he's definitely named in the squad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we've got Matt Ryan in goal, who's very, very solid, very good goalie, and he's been playing excellently for Brighton all season in the EPL. But, you know, when you look through the team, there's an awful lot of players who are European-based but aren't getting game time. You know, yeah. You've got our centre-back, Sainsbury, Degnik. Sainsbury is at PSV, but really not getting a lot of time there. It's similar sort of story throughout the board where we've got players not getting a lot of game time. I think we have called up the Cypriot-based Giannou.
Giannou Giannis or something
like that. Yeah.
Okay.
So he's been called up to replace Boyle.
Right. He's kind of a big lumper to him, centre forward, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, and then apart from that, we...
I heard Lecky is injured as well.
He's still in the squad, though.
Yeah, so it can't be a serious injury. But I guess we're going to be relying on the likes of Awamabil,
yeah. Yeah, it's probably just not a very inspiring Australian squad. I think there's other countries there who have probably just nicked ahead of us now, and Australia will do well to make the final, I think.
What do you think of Australia's opponents in the group? All Arab nations?
Yes. So we've got Syria. So Syria... Of course, you know, war-torn country. Famously, we qualified against them for the World Cup in that amazing
playoff.
Yes. Yeah, with the Cahill goal right at the death.
They've got those two strikers that do really well in the Saudi leagues.
Yeah, so there's a younger one, Omar Karabin, who has probably the better record at international level than the older lad, Omar Al-Samar. So Al-Samar is the one who scored like more than a goal a game in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, excellent record.
Amazing record, really. At the international level, he's got 17 caps and 7 goals.
So he was the guy that famously, I think he came back for the playoff against Australia because he had been in self-imposed exile because he had disagreements with the regime there.
Yeah. So, the younger guy, Omar Karabin, has... got twice as many caps as him. Like he's got 38 caps and 17 goals. So that's where their threat is probably most likely going to come from. And we saw in that game as well how well organised they were.
I believe they're coached by Bernd Stanger.
That's right. Now those with a memory going back to the NSL days, Bernd Stanger was the Perth Glory coach at the end of the NSL when Perth Glory were at the around about 2000. That amazing grand final against the Wollongong Wolves, which they eventually lost. They were winning 3-0 at halftime and single-wing penalties. And he has been a bit of a nomad since then. He's been travelling around coaching various teams, but he's their coach. Syria, I think, are probably the second strongest team in here, but we've got another two teams. We've got Palestine and Jordan.
I think that's a bit of a fairy tale for Palestine.
They got hammered at the last Asian Cup.
Right.
I think they lost all three games in that. Palestine, of course, when you think about Palestine, you think about,
an open-air prison.
Yeah, a very troubled nation. And, of course, their people are spread all over the world. And so this Palestinian team is probably most notable for the players that they have in there who are coming from places like Chile and Argentina, players from the US. Like, people were born overseas and grew up overseas and played their football all overseas representing Palestine. Yeah. So that's going to be interesting to see.
There was one player who was born in Santiago, Yashir Islame, 7 goals and 13 for Palestine, midfielder. Yes. So he looks quite promising.
That's right. Yeah. So I want to watch there.
Yeah.
Jordan, I think Jordan are probably the makeup team in this group. So Australia is ranked top 50 and Syria and Palestine are sort of top 70, top 80. Jordan are well below that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So this is in the FIFA rankings I'm talking about. Which may colour it somewhat, but...
I don't put too much credence in the FIFA rankings, but go on.
Yeah, so I'm not holding out a lot of hope for Jordan, but, look, it's a 4-team group and with potentially 3 qualifying from it, so who knows? Maybe they could do well.
Yeah, I would have thought that Palestine would be the makeup team. They're just, I guess they don't have the history that Jordan often
seems. Yeah. Group C.
We've got South Korea, China, Kyrgyzstan, and the Philippines. So South Korea are obvious favourites, probably favourites among the favourites for the tournament.
I think so.
They've probably got the star player at the tournament,
Son Heung-min.
As a Tottenham player, do you like him?
Oh, he's fantastic. He really is. I think we saw at the World Cup that, he kind of struggled a little bit. He did score, of course, against Germany, But he struggled a little bit just because South Korea doesn't have the same level of player that he plays with at club level. So bringing him into the game is a little bit harder. But, I mean, he has got electric pace. And if he gets... And he's in such good form at the moment.
Yeah, that's
the thing.
If he
gets a chance, yeah. And he did go and play for South Korea at the Asian Games, which is kind of the equivalent of the Olympic Games, back in August. And South Korea won that. They were very determined to do that. And that means that he now is allowed to sit out his compulsory military service as a result of winning that.
Which would have seen him absent for 2 years, wouldn't it?
That's right, yeah. So there is a special deal that Tottenham have got in place because they allowed him to go to that, which was a non-FIFA-sanctioned competition. Son is going to come to this a little bit late. So I think he's going to miss all of the group games.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely the first two, possibly all three. So he's going to go a little bit later.
Oh, wow. Mm. Okay, so I guess they figured that they'll qualify quite easily from this group. I mean, they have some decent other players as well. They've got Kuga, Chol, and Ji Dong-won, both from Augsburg in the Bundesliga. So they've got a few players based in Germany. The ELO ranking is 23, which is extremely high, the highest team in this tournament.
Yes.
They are coached now by Paulo Bento, former coach of Portugal. He's kind of known for his defensive style. And their results have been, I'd say, mixed since the World Cup. They haven't lost a game since that game against Mexico in the group stage, but they've been drawing quite a few games as well. So
They had a friendly against Australia back in October, remember? And I think they ended in a 1-1 draw.
It was 1-1. Australia should have won it by the dominant team.
Yeah, but Son didn't play in that either. So,
Next team, China. Well, an enigma wrapped in a riddle inside something else. Yeah, Marcello Lippi is their coach.
Yes.
Bringing a lot of experience there. Yes. And he was always known as a bit of a defensive manager himself. And China have actually been keeping the goals conceded down. But China is one of those countries that we, say, 20 years ago, 10 years ago, we really, really would have expected them to have come on a bit stronger than they, right? Yeah. So they qualified for that World Cup in 2002.
Yep.
Got thrashed. But that was an incredible achievement at the time.
Yes.
2018... they haven't improved. In fact, they've gone backwards.
They've regressed, haven't they?
Yeah. And
with the amount of money going into the game at the domestic level, again, like that's what you're expecting to bring the game on in that country. But it's not reaping the rewards at the moment.
Yeah.
Where's it all going wrong for China?
They overpay players there.
Yeah.
Players from Europe and South America, pay them twice what they would get in Europe.
Which is incredible. Yeah. Incredible. The most highly paid players in the world are now in China. Yeah.
I think Oscar is like in the top three in the world. So they're spending all this money, but they're not really, they don't seem to be putting a lot of it into grassroots football. This team is one of the oldest teams in the competition, this squad. They still have Zheng Ji. Do you remember him?
Yeah.
He played in Premier League back in 2007 for Charlton Athletic. He's 38 and he'll be at this tournament.
Wow.
So quite an old team. They've probably, their star man is Wu Lei of Shanghai SIPG. He scored a few goals against Melbourne Victory in the Champions League
in the past.
Old squad, ELO, they're ranked 80th in the world. Look, they should come through this group, but to be honest, I'm not expecting too much of this team. Two other teams in this group, Kyrgyzstan firstly. Look, ELO, they're ranked 142nd in the world, slightly above India. They qualified equal with India on points to get to the tournament. So you're talking about a bit of a make weight. But they've got the Philippines, who are ranked below them in the ELO rankings in the same group. So they'll be fighting it out, I'd say, for third place.
Yeah, no.
Kyrgyzstan's a bit of an interesting story. They've got quite a few German or players with German names in their team. So after World War II, a whole lot of German prisoners of war were sent to work as slave laborers out in in places like Kyrgyzstan, Kazakhstan.
Yeah.
And their descendants have German names, but some of them have moved on and played in the German leagues. But there's a few players with German names in this squad. The Philippines, now this is an example of a country who maybe 10 or 15, about 15 years ago, were one of the worst countries in the world. They were one of the lowest ranked teams in the ELO rankings at that time. You're talking below San Marino by quite
a bit. Yeah, yeah.
Which was amazing considering the population. It's not a football country.
No.
They prefer other sports. But there is this massive diaspora. You know, usually it's Filipino women who've trapped around the world and married men from various countries.
Yep.
So, for example, they've got Ian Ramsey in their squad who has a Filipino mother, 30 now, former Adelaide United player. He's playing in the Philippine League.
Right.
And so many players, the young husbands from England. Phil Young husband is their top international scorer with 52 goals.
Mm-hmm.
He's also playing in the Philippines now. Probably the big story is that Neil Etheridge, who's been having a great season at Cardiff this season.
The goalkeeper,
he's not going. He's pulled out. He's decided that Cardiff's Premier League survival is more important than this tournament.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's a bit of a blow to them.
It is, yeah. I mean, it is a tricky situation. Like, club football is not stopping for this competition. It's organised in the European winter. And there's a lot of football being played. So you can see for the teams that are losing players, it's a big blow to them. And it is a contrast with Brighton, who have lost Matt Ryan, the goalie.
Mm.
So Cardiff have held on to him. But
yeah, I mean, I guess Philippines are not on the same stature as Australia. But still, would have loved to have seen him there because he's a great shot stopper and they'll be facing plenty of shots. They're coached by Sven-Goran Eriksson.
Yes. Yeah, it's quite interesting. So they're obviously splashing a bit of cash around.
The player to watch, Stefan Schrock, German. He also plays in the Philippine League. The team that all these players play for, or the main team in the Philippines, is a team called Cerros Negros. You might remember about a year ago, Brisbane Roar lost to them in the playoff for the Champions League. Which, and I remember I couldn't believe that when I saw that.
That was that game where the Brisbane jerseys were, you know, the numbers are falling off them. They had sticky tape attached. This is a professional football team in Australia. It was a disgrace, basically. Yeah.
It was hilarious. All the players, the numbers were falling off throughout the game. They lost. I couldn't believe that Brisbane Roar had lost a game against a Philippine club. But this club has actually got quite a few of these European players who've moved to the Philippines. So, look, I'll be really interested to watch them. I hope they do well. Okay, we're going to move on to Group D.
So Group D, we have in this group, we have Iran, Iraq, Vietnam and Yemen.
Mm.
So two very strong teams and two teams that, you know, will be hoping to make an impression. But I think you could kind of see already that who the two qualifiers from the group will be. So Iran are, you know, one of the heavily backed favourites for this. Obviously at the World Cup just recently.
Where they did well.
They did quite well, yeah. Probably better than I had given them credit for. They were very defensively solid. They have Carlos Queiroz as their manager or coach still. He's been there for a long time, so he knows that team inside out.
They have that striker who plays in the Russian league, Asmund or whatever his name is.
Yeah. So now, interestingly, at the last Asian Cup, they lost to Iraq in the quarterfinals. So I think they'll be up for a little bit of, you know, I'm sure that they don't need any motivation when they're playing Iraq, but, you know, that will provide that little bit of extra motivation.
Yeah.
So I think Iraq got to they got as far as the semis at the last Asian Cup. I think we have in from Iraq players to watch, and I saw a couple of interesting names in there. One was Ayman Hussein.
I like him already.
Ayman Hussein, young Iraqi striker. He's 22. He's now playing in Tunisia.
Mm-hmm.
He's done well at club level. He hasn't maybe hit the heights at international level. He's got quite a few caps. He's only got one goal to his name. But, you know, as is common with a lot of the Iraqi players, like his life has been pulled asunder by war in Iraq over the last couple of decades. But, yeah, I'm sure there'll be a fan at this table egging him on. And in the next one, there's also a young lad, Muhammad Ali, who made his debut last year at the age of 17.
Well, because they've got a great young team, of course.
Yeah, so he's doing really well. He's made 11 appearances for Iraq already. He's 18 now, and he scored 6 goals. So I think at 18, like, he's probably not going to make a huge impact, but, you know, he's definitely one to watch. And we've got Vietnam and Yemen. Vietnam, sort of, I guess, a similar-ish story to Philippines a little bit. You know, of late, they've been, I mean, not as bad as, not coming from the lows of the Philippines, but they're making a bit of progress of late. They just won the AFF Cup, which is essentially the Southeast Asian champions. They have a South Korean coach who was there in 2002 as an assistant coach back then. Went on to manage the under-23 team and various South Korean clubs and then moved into the international game. Interestingly, he is a deacon at a Methodist church when he's got the time. And then we have Yemen, David Tonks. They just sacked their coach recently and they've appointed a new one.
And that's Slovak. Another country that's ravaged by war.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how these countries can pull together a football team in times like this, but, you know, like, more power to them.
I noticed they have a young player playing in the Brazilian fourth division. So
good pickup.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, it's hard to see them doing anything in this group. Like, you would think that it's going to be Iran, Iraq in the top two positions, Vietnam hoping to come third and get out in Yemen.
It would be a fairy tale if Yemen could get through.
Yeah. So on to Group E.
Yep. So Group E, we've got Saudi Arabia, Qatar, Lebanon, and North Korea. Saudi Arabia ranked 62 in the ELO rankings. They still have Pizzi as their manager.
Oh.
Who they had during the World Cup. Saudi Arabia is one of these countries that their players rarely leave their own league. So all of their players are domestic based and they produce some very talented footballers. But if they went to Europe more, they would be able to progress.
Yeah. A bit like England.
I'll leave that there. Interestingly, he hasn't called up some of the mainstays of the national team. So guys like Al Salawi and Al Shamrani haven't been called up to this squad. So it's a younger team.
Okay, focus on youth.
Yeah, a bit more of a focus on youth. They drew with South Korea in a recent game, but they will be one of the favourites for the tournament. They'll expect to win this group. Very interesting political situation. Saudi Arabia, drawn in the same group as Qatar. Now, these countries have been at loggerheads over the last couple of years. So that should be very tense. Qatar, based 76 in the world. Their coach is from the Barcelona school, Felix Sanchez Bas. He former coach of the Barcelona youth team. You know, Barcelona had the Qatar Academy sponsorship recently. There seems to be a real connection there between Barcelona and Qatar. Best player, youngster called Akram Afif, was at Villarreal previously. So they'll be hoping to at least come second. Lost to Iran recently in a friendly, but definitely one of the favourites in this group.
Mm.
Lebanon finished top of Group B. They're in this group with North Korea. Now, in qualifying, they actually beat North Korea 5-0 at home, drew 2 all away. So they've got the wood over North Korea of late. I actually think North Korea's story is pretty incredible. So they have only recently called up players or sent players outside of North Korea. Some of players have been going to Europe and developing there. Now, you remember when Kim Jong-il was the ruler, that was never allowed.
No.
The only players that were based overseas were the ones who were born in Japan, and they were third generation Koreans in Japan. But since Kim Jong-un has come into power, I've noticed some of these players have been going to Europe. So they've got a couple of guys in Italy, based in Italy. These guys were born in North Korea, but they're learning their trade in Italy. One to watch out for, he's only 20, Han Kwang-song, scored a hat-trick on his debut in the Serie B for Perugia. So that's pretty good. They've also got Pak Kwang-rong in Austria, Jong Il-gwan in Switzerland, all doing quite well. Very young squad. Not their goalkeeper is the only player over 30 in the squad. So they're really probably thinking of this as a build-up to the World Cup. Let's hope North Korea can spring a surprise or two.
Okay. And then on to Group F?
Yes.
All right. So in Group F, we have Japan, Uzbekistan, Oman, and Turkmenistan. So a couple of the, you know, former Soviet republics in this one, along with the traditional powerhouse of Asian football, Japan.
Yep.
Japan obviously have won the Asian Cup four times, a record four times, and going for the fifth. Will they do it this time? Like, this is a really interesting story, or at least to me anyway, but with what Japan have done with their squad. They have basically ditched their
old stalwarts.
Yes. So, you know, obviously with Melbourne Victory in mind, Keisuke Honda was not part of the... he's retired from international football himself, but...
in my opinion, their greatest ever player, but go on.
Yes, I would agree with you there, and especially now that he's playing at Melbourne Victory. And then we've got Shinji Kagawa.
And what's happened with him?
So he's been dropped. Like,
that's incredible.
It's not an injury, anything like that. It's just that I think he's getting on. He's actually not getting game time at Dortmund this year. So he's actually looking for a move, get away from Dortmund. So he hasn't been called up. The Japanese coach was just basically saying, Yeah, I'd love to have him, but you know, he's not getting enough game time, so not bringing him. Similar story.
That's confidence.
Yeah, and he's talking about winning this competition. Like, he's full of self-belief. Same with Okazaki from Leicester, not getting enough game time, so he's not called up either. So lots of younger players in this Japanese squad. They have, of course, got Yoshida from Southampton as their experienced head. So I think he's got nearly 100 caps.
They've got that Shibasaki, that deep-lying playmaker. I remember I was angry that he was playing ahead of Honda in the World Cup, and he didn't play that well in the first couple of games, but then he did one of the best passes I've ever seen a player do, ever. Mm.
Yeah, right.
Like, you know, through the eye of a needle pass in their third group game.
Yeah. So then you've got, as well as Japan, of course, you've got other countries fighting it out for second place. You've got Uzbekistan.
The old Rashidov, he's a great player. I remember in the last tournament, he was one of my favourite players.
Yeah, well, they lost to South Korea in the quarterfinals at the last one. Failed to qualify for the World Cup. Obviously, Hector Cooper is their coach. I remember Cooper from late 1990s, early 2000s, like Valencia, Petrol, Bridesmaid, kept on losing those finals. He was, you know, one of the most wanted coaches around that time.
Mm.
But he's just fallen from grace, really. Since then, he went on to Inter, I think, and didn't really succeed. And, you know, didn't really do very much. He was managing the Greek league and so on. And then turned his hand to international football. He's ended up now with Uzbekistan.
I've noticed they've had no warm-up games, so he must be focusing on training. Their last friendly, they lost 4-0 to South Korea, was in November.
And then you've also got Oman and Turkmenistan sort of almost basically making up the numbers in this group, really. I think Uzbekistan and Japan should get out of this.
Australia beat Oman 5-0 on a friendly the other day.
Exactly.
But they've got Pim Verbeek.
Oh, coach.
Ex-Australian coach.
Yeah.
Anything about Turkmenistan?
No, nothing to say about that. I'm not expecting
that. Yeah. Well, we apologise to the Turkmenis that are out there listening from Dushanbe or...
Yes, one of the other massive cities in Turkmenistan.
I don't even know if Dushanbe is in it. I think that might be Kyrgyzstan.
Yeah. Well,
we apologise to the stands mixing you up.
So that's kind of it. That's pretty much us going through all of the groups.
Well, let's just make a prediction.
Yeah.
Prediction for, say, the last four or the top four teams, you think.
For me, it will be South Korea, Japan, Iran, and I'm going to go with Australia.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think Graham Arnold has come a long way as a coach. Back in 2007 when he coached Australia, he was he was very defensive. I think he developed a lot in the later years in the A-League.
Yeah, I mean, I think I was probably a little bit unfair on him. But, I mean, when he was at Sydney, like, they obviously produced a very good team in the end, despite...
Yeah.
I mean, obviously they get help from the FFA along the way, but, you know.
Yeah. At the same time, Australia has so many injuries. It's hard to see them winning this one. Yeah, I think it'll be out of Iran, South Korea, Japan, and UAE could be a surprise package. Well, we're looking forward to it.
So you're picking UAE ahead of Australia then for that fourth semi-final place?
Yeah, remember that a lot of referees from other Arab countries will be refereeing at this tournament.
Yes.
So,
well, I don't know what that would have to do with the outcomes of the football games.
I don't know either. Do they have VAR?
I actually don't know. I guess we'll be seeing soon enough.
Mm. Let's hope they do.
Mm.
Yeah, I think I might pick Iran for this tournament. That'd be my pick.
Yeah.
If you had to pick one team, tell?
I'd probably go with South Korea.
Okay, well, let's wrap it up there. Thank you very much for listening to the International Football Podcast. Please, on iTunes, give us a 5-star review, as this really helps the discoverability of the show and gets the podcast out to more listeners. If you want to follow us, we're on social media. So please follow us on the Twitter handle @intfootpodcast, @intfootpodcast. On Facebook, you can follow us on the page, The International Football Podcast. We really want to increase the community around the podcast.
Thanks for listening. Appreciate your interest in international football, and we'll be back with another pod soon enough to review the progress in the Asian Cup and see how things are getting on.
Another great podcast you should check out is Melbourne-based pod For Vuck's Sake. That's V-U-C-K. This is one of our favourite productions around, especially for fans of Melbourne Victory. It is essential listening.